Let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 3 as we learn this morning about how to restart our life, how to restart our life. And we're going to read beginning in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. And then we're going to read maybe the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. A lot of times we see the text, but we don't really see the word. So we're going to read those today as well. And so let's read from John chapter 3. You follow with me as I read. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And then look at verse 16 right before we pray. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you this morning for the love that you have expressed for us on Calvary. We thank you for the promise that we can be born again, that we can restart. And I pray that today that many would come to that point of saying, I choose Jesus Christ and I choose to restart with him. And so bless these next few moments, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I don't know about you, but I can look back in my life at a lot of times when I just say, wow, I blew that. I wish I could take those words back. I wish I didn't. I would not have done that. I wish I could somehow hit the rewind button and start all over. And sometimes it's a little thing like my phone jams and I need to slide to restart. And sometimes it's my whole computer filled with just a lot of jammed programs and I've got to turn the whole computer off and start all over. How many of you have ever had to do that? Am I the only one? All right, good. I'm glad there's some others. And sometimes it's things like that. Sometimes it's bigger things. I heard about a fella last year that was going to play what he thought was a funny joke on somebody. And so he went to Chick-fil-A and he heard that they had good food and they had nice people. And he was just going to see if he could fluster the lady there at the drive-thru. So he pulled up and he began to change his order repeatedly. And he began to tell her that she was slow and dumb and just real a demeaning type of a situation. And just to have even more fun, he thought he'd video the whole thing. And just to show everyone how smart he was, he thought that he would put this entire experience on YouTube. And so he placed it all on YouTube. And that same day, he was fired from his six-figure job as the CFO for a medical supply company. He went to another state 2 weeks later, applied for a job. They hired him, but 2 days later, they saw the video and fired him. And still to this day, you could type his name on Google and the YouTube video comes up. How many of you believe that guy would like to restart that whole situation? Like to go back and be nice to the young lady at Chick-fil-A? You know, there's just some things you go, what was I thinking? Another lady got on a plane last year and she was going to fly over to Africa and they weren't treating her real well on the airline, she didn't think. And so right before the plane took off, she put something on Twitter. She only had 170 followers on Twitter, but she used some choice language. She said some demeaning things. And by the time she landed on the other side of the Atlantic, her particular tweet had become the number one global trend on the earth. She lost her job. She received death threats. She had many direct messages reprimanding her. How many of you believe that that young lady wishes she could restart what she put on Twitter? And you know, all of us have had times in our marriages. We've had times with our children. We've had times at work where we wish we could just start all over again. Restarts are hard to come by. But I want to talk to you this morning about how, with Christ, we can have a brand new beginning. And I want to just share three very simple thoughts with those of you this morning that are interested in having a restart in your life. Now, if you're going to have a restart, the first thing I want to share with you from the Bible is you've got to go to the right person. You've got to go to the right person to get things started well. And I want you to see what a very smart first century man did. The Bible says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. I want you to just notice that very simple phrase. He came to Jesus. Now, Nicodemus had a ton of credentials. He was a ruling member of the Sanhedrin. That means he was one of 70 men who passed down the law to the Jews. He was a man that was well known in society. Listen, he would have memorized all first five books of the Old Testament. He would have memorized them. I haven't done that. I don't know anybody that's ever done that. He was one smart guy. He was a ruler of the Sanhedrin. He was a man that knew a lot of people, knew a lot of facts, but there was something still missing in his heart. And I got to tell you today, I've got a lot of wonderful people that I can go to for counsel and for help, but when it comes to this matter of a restart, there is one that we must turn to, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so Nicodemus, he had a lot of credentials, he had a lot of friends, but he needed something that none of them could provide. Now, to understand how religious this guy really might have been, I was thinking, as we were in the Holy Land a few weeks ago, and we visited the Western Wall, and we were just watching some of these folks as they prayed there, and just some of the garb, some of the phylacteries, they wrapped the scriptures around their arms, they wrapped the scriptures on their heads, and they were there having a bar mitzvah with one of the young men, and he also had the scriptures on his head. And I'm telling you, these folks take the Bible seriously, the Old Testament in particular, studying it and studying it and studying it. And this is the kind of man Nicodemus was. He was a man totally given to the scriptures, and yet in all of his Bible knowledge, there was a hole in his heart still. And so because of that, he came to Jesus by night. You know what Nicodemus reminds me of? He reminds me of the fact that you can have religion, but really not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know a lot of stuff about God, but not know God. And that's the case with Nicodemus. And so he came to Jesus. Billy Graham, the famed evangelist, once said that 80% of all people who accepted Jesus as their Savior in his crusades had some form of previous church relationship. In other words, they knew some things about God and about church, but they had never come to Christ as their Savior. And the problem with religion is that if it's all about keeping rules and memorizing stuff, you can never do enough. The Bible says in James 2:10, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all." Now maybe Nicodemus was figuring that out. Maybe Nicodemus knew a lot of facts, but he was beginning to realize, you know, I'm not perfect, and I've got something that I've got to have help with, and that was, of course, his sin. And so he had to go to the right person. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is the right person to come to in your time of need. Now, why do we say that? I want to tell you a few things about Jesus this morning. Jesus is the right person to come to for four very important reasons. Number one, because Jesus is eternal God. Jesus is the right person to come to because he's not just another man or just another prophet. Now, we could cover lots of verses, but for the sake of time, look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, this speaks to the eternality of Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with God. And Jesus Christ is eternal God. And the Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." That's what we celebrate at Christmas time. We celebrate that the pre-existent Christ, the one who was with God, took the form of a man. He became flesh and dwelt among us. In Bethlehem's manger, deity was wrapped in humanity. God became man and he dwelt amongst us. And so we come to Jesus Christ because he is eternal God. You'll find in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8 an interesting conversation between God the Father and God the Son. And notice what it says. It says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Now, many cults today deny the deity of Christ. They question whether Jesus Christ is really God. I've got to tell you, if God the Father calls God the Son, if God the Father calls Jesus God, that settles it for me. Jesus Christ is eternal God. And that's why we come to Him in our time of need. That's why we pray to Him. We don't pray here to statues or to priests. I don't ask people to confess their sin to me. I'm here today not to point you to me or this church. I'm here today to point you to Jesus Christ. He is the right person to turn to when you need a restart in your life. And so Jesus is right because Jesus is eternal God. Notice, secondly, Jesus is the right person to turn to because Jesus Christ created you. He created you. He knows you. He understands you. Now look at a wonderful verse in your notes there, Jeremiah 1:5. Think of these words. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, we know oftentimes in this world that a little child in the mother's womb is just viewed as fetal tissue, but God says, no, no, when you were there, I knew you. I had a plan for you. I loved you. I knew you before you were ever born. I have known you through the process of your life. God, your creator, knows you, and he understands you, and he can help you. John 1 and verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Psalm 138, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Now, I don't know you intimately, and you don't know me necessarily intimately, but there is a God in heaven that knows you, and he understands you. And the right person to turn to today is the Lord Jesus, because he is eternal God, and because he is creator God. And thirdly, the right person to turn to today is Jesus Christ, because he is completely perfect. He is completely perfect. Now, let me tell you something. When you go to get counsel from just about anybody, they're going to have an angle on the counsel. They have a paradigm. They have an opinion. They have an angle in the situation. But I want you to know that with the Lord, the only thing that really matters to him is that you are his child and that he cares for you. And I want you to understand that he has no angle. He has no sin in him. The Bible says in 1 John 3:5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So Jesus Christ is the only perfect one to turn to when we need a fresh start. In fact, Hebrews says he was tempted in all points like we are, but he never sinned. He was without sin. Jesus Christ never sinned. Now, you can't say that about me, and I can't say that about you, but Jesus Christ is the one who is perfect in all points, and we can trust him. And then fourthly, Jesus is the right person to turn to because he loves you. He loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, as we were in Israel a few days back, we had the opportunity to just be reminded firsthand as we visited Bethlehem where Jesus was born and saw that he came to such a lowly place. And then we went up to the steps that would lead up into Jerusalem, to the old city, up into the place where Jesus would have been dedicated. They would have walked, Mary and Joseph, about 4 miles away from Bethlehem, up into these steps and up into the city, and Jesus was dedicated as a little child. And we know the story. He went from Nazareth to Capernaum. He began his ministry. He lived this perfectly sinless life. But then in the last days of his life, he comes back to Jerusalem. And it's there that he went to the Bible. The Bible describes as the Garden of Gethsemane. Just on the foot of the Mount of Olives there. Here's an olive tree they said was right around 2,000 years old. This tree may have heard Jesus' prayer when Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the Bible says that in that garden, that Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Because he was beginning to feel the agony of your sin and mine coming upon him. And as he prayed that prayer, the capillaries began to burst in his forehead and blood began to flow down, recognizing not merely the pain of crucifixion, but the sin of the world coming upon him. It was from that garden that he would have looked up to that eastern gate, and he would have been mindful that now it was just a few days and he would be going up and in past the gate and over to Golgotha, where he would die for our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ went from this place to the hill of the skull, where on this place called Golgotha, the Lord Jesus gave his life. And there the Roman soldiers drove the nails through his hands and through his feet. And there the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. And Jesus Christ suffered and died. The blood came flowing down, because without the shedding of the blood, there's no remission for sin. And I'm telling you, Jesus did that for you personally. He had you on his mind when he was on that cross. Hey, the good news is that on the third day, the Bible tells us, up from the grave he arose. And as we visited the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and we looked inside, I got to tell you, 2,000 years later, there are still no bones. There's no body there. He is not there. He is risen, as he said. Jesus did all of that for you and for me. I want you to understand, he loves you this morning. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And God doesn't love in a way like we might love. He doesn't love some people or some colors of people or some nationalities of people. The Bible simply says, for God so loved the all people. I heard about a stewardess that was getting her folks ready for the flight, and she said, now in case of the loss of cabin pressure, we want to remind you to look up. You're going to see the oxygen mask. They're going to drop. And she says, stop screaming if that happens. Grab the mask, pull it over your face. She said, if you have a little one with you, take the mask, put it over the little one's face. She said, if you're traveling with more than one child, pick your favorite. How many of you are glad God has no favorites? He loves you this morning. Look, if you're going to get a restart, it might be time to stop trying this psychoanalysis and this psychologist and this drug and that alcohol and this old gang and this old friend. It might be time for you to turn to Jesus Christ himself. He's the right one to turn to. You see, you got to go to the right person. If you're going to get a restart, you got to go to the right person. And secondly, you've got to ask the right question. You've got to know what you're needing, and you've got to ask the right question. And Jesus goes right to the issue in verse number 3. I want you to see, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, how is a man born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Now, don't be too hard on Nicodemus for not totally understanding the term born again. There's a lot of people who say they're born again, and they don't know what it means. They use it in a colloquial manner. When Jesus spoke about being born again, he spoke about that wonderful miracle that takes place when the Word of God is given and the Spirit of God moves and someone is changed miraculously from the inside out. And the right question to answer is, have you been born again the Bible way? It's not, have you taken the sacraments? Have you joined the church? Have you been baptized? Are you trying hard to be a good person? All of that has its place. But let me tell you, what matters this morning is, do you know him intimately? Has his Spirit come to dwell in you? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now you say, well, why is that such an important question? Well, let me tell you two things about the new birth this morning. First, the new birth is miraculous. It is miraculous. And what I mean by this is, it's not something you can do for yourself. It's not something the church can give you. I can't say a prayer over you and give you entrance into heaven. I can't say a prayer over you and give you entrance into the family of God. And it's not something that you can earn. A lot of people say, well, when I get up to heaven, I'm going to stand before St. Peter. I don't know where that came from, but that's what we often hear. And then there's going to be like a scales. And if my good outweighs the bad, then I'm going to get in. And I'm going to tell you, that's good human logic, but it's not sound doctrine. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. And it's not of yourselves, and it's not of your works. It's not what you do that counts. It's what Jesus did that counts. Hey, let's just be honest. If we had to get to heaven just on our own merit, we're in a bad situation here. But the miracle of the new birth is that Jesus Christ has forgiven us by his grace. And to be born again means to be born from above, to be born from above. It's the Holy Spirit coming and doing the work within us. Now, it's not to be born from beneath. It's not us pulling up our boots spiritually and going forward on our own merit. It's to be born of God. And this is the miracle of the spiritual birth. You see, John 1:13 says, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Look it. You can't think yourself into heaven. You can't work yourself into heaven. You can't push your way into heaven. But Jesus Christ will lead you in all the way. You see, it's not by works, Titus says, but it's by his mercy that he saved us. So the new birth is miraculous. And the other thing you need to know about it, the new birth is eternal. This is an everlasting covenant between you and God. In John 3:5, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The water speaks of the physical birth, and the Spirit speaks of the spiritual birth. And Jesus said, you've had the physical birth, you're here. But you must have the spiritual birth from above in order to enter the kingdom of God. Now, let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is forever and ever. How many of you have ever heard the Hallelujah chorus? And he shall reign for how long? Forever and ever, right? The kingdom of God is forever. And Jesus said, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, then you must be born again. Now, please understand something. All of us are living souls. All of us are eternal beings. Genesis 2:7, God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. Now, to be sure, our bodies are showing signs of age, and to be sure, there's not going to be an eternality of this body. There'll be a new body, but we are living eternal souls. And we must understand that when Jesus talks about the new birth, he's talking about the entry point to eternal life. And sometimes we struggle to comprehend that. I mean, 10 years seems like an eternity, and 70 years seems like an eternity. I heard about a man that was trying to understand the nature of God, and one day he cried out and he said, God, how long is a million years to you? And God said, it's like a minute. And he said, God, how much is $1 million to you? And God said, it's like a penny. And the man said, God, could I have a penny? And God said, just a minute. Sometimes we try to get our arms and our mind around time and eternity, but I want you to understand there is an eternity. In fact, in the Bible, both heaven and hell are spoken of in the sense of eternality. In fact, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 43, the Bible says that the fire of hell will never be quenched. That's a tragic thought. It's not something that's just for a little while. And the Bible says in Revelation 22 and 5 that the kingdom of the Lord is forever and ever, as I mentioned a moment ago. So the importance of the new birth is found in the fact that this is the entry point for eternal life with Jesus Christ forever and ever. So if you want to get the right restart, you've got to go to the right person. And the right person is the Creator God, Jesus, who knows you and who loves you. And you've got to ask the right question. And the right question isn't, hey, who do you know? Where do you work? How much money do you have? What have you done for me lately? The right question is, have you been born again the Bible way? And then I want you to see, thirdly, for those of you looking for a restart today, you've got to make the right decision. You've got to make the right decision. How many of you have made a really dumb decision or two in your life? Raise your hand right now, right? And don't say the guy I married or something like that. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, right? How many of you made a dumb one last week? Anybody? All right, good. All right. Not good, but good that you're being honest. Okay, good. We all make some bad mistakes, and we make dumb decisions. But God, I believe, has you here this morning so that the Scripture can guide you into making the very best decision you've ever made in your entire life. And in these final 5 minutes, I want to tell you about the very best decision I've ever made in my entire life. And I've made some pretty good ones. I've made some pretty dumb ones, but listen, I married my wife, Terry, 35 years ago. Awesome. What a great decision. The second best decision I ever made in my life. But I'm going to tell you right now about the first and most important decision I've ever made in my life. And I want you to see it in verse 16 as we close this morning. Look there at verse 16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, what's that next word say? Believeth in him. Should not perish. In other words, this person that puts their faith in Christ does not perish, but they have everlasting life. the right decision is first a decision to turn to Jesus Christ. It is a decision, and this matter of believing on the Lord is a matter of turning to Him. Sometimes we refer to it as confession or repentance, but we are turning to Him completely. We're turning away from whatever else we would trust in, including ourselves and our common sense, and we're turning to Him, and this is important. It's important that we turn to Him alone because He is the sinless one. We are the sinful ones. You say, well, that's kind of negative. Well, it's Bible, and if you just be honest, it's the truth. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Listen, there's not one person in this city that is completely morally righteous. There's not one person in this world that is completely morally righteous. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a lot of good people, a lot of nice people, but none of us are perfect. That's why we all need the forgiveness, the redemption of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're still sitting here going, well, you know, I don't know. I think there's some pretty good people, maybe close to perfect. I would invite you to visit the nursery right at the end of the service today. You're going to find some of those kids, I'm telling you, they learn at an early age how to argue, how to fight, how to bite. They're very learned and quick learning sinners over there. I'm just telling you right now. One time I was walking by the nurseries when we used to have these rocking horses, and there's a little boy and girl on the rocking horse, and the little girl said, if one of us would get off this horse, there'd be a lot more room for me. So she was already figuring out, you know, how to have that thing for herself. You know, honestly, we learn at a very early age how to put self first. And that's why we turn to Jesus, because what we're saying is, Lord, I confess to you that I am a sinner. I'm not the perfect one. You are the perfect one. And I'm turning to you to forgive me. You shed your blood as the payment for my sin. So it is a decision to turn. And secondly, it's a decision to believe. To believe. Now it says, whosoever believeth on him. And I want to speak about this for a moment because we must, first of all, believe comprehensively. That is to say, we must make a conscious decision. It must be a willful decision. We must know who we are, that we are sinners. We must know who Jesus is, that He's the perfect Son of God. We must know that only His blood can take away our sin. And I just want you to understand, no one is a Christian because their parents said that they are Christians or because you got baptized when you were 6 days old. This is becoming born again, knowing Jesus personally lives within you. This is something that you comprehensively decide on your own. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not born again because you are forced to make the decision. I have a comic in my office, a Charlie Brown comic, and it's kind of funny to me because Lucy says to Charlie Brown, I would make a great evangelist. Charlie Brown says, really, why? He says, well, just today I convinced a boy in front of me at lunchtime that he should be in my religion. And Charlie Brown said, how did you do that? She said, I hit him over the head with my lunch pail. Now, we didn't invite you here today to hit you over the head with our spiritual lunch pail. We're simply preaching Christ and praying that you yourself will be drawn by God's Spirit to know the importance of receiving Him as Savior. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, all of us in the human race have a death sentence spiritually. We're separated from God. But God sent His Son to reach out to us and to call us unto Himself so that we might be reconciled. And the wonderful truth is today that anyone who will believe on Christ, and the word believe means to place your complete trust in Him. This is not a matter of adding Jesus to your God shelf. This is not a matter of getting religion. This is a matter of saying, Jesus, I turn completely to you. I trust only in you to forgive me of my sin, to be my Savior. And it's because of you that I'm born into the kingdom of God. Now, false religion doesn't always teach it this way. False religion has this idea that you somehow have to earn your way to God. Everybody with me this morning? We're almost done. False religion sort of approaches God on the ladder method, if you will. And what they say is you got to kind of climb up there to God. And if you keep working at it, You can someday get to God. And so sometimes they say, hey, first you got to get baptized in our church. And if you get baptized, that's one step. And by the way, I'm a Baptist. I believe in baptism. I've probably baptized more than 10,000 people. But water will not wash away your sin. Only Jesus can wash away your sin. But there are those that would say, you got to get baptized, that's the key. And then some say, hey, if you'll give money, if you'll just give some more money, then that'll take care of a lot, that'll cover a lot. And so be sure to do that, because you got to do these things to get up into heaven. And some people say, look, you got to join this church, but you got to make sure you're a member here, and you do that, and that'll get you to heaven. And others say, besides that, you've got to do these other good deeds and just keep working at it, keep working at it. You got to get married here, you got to get buried here. And by the way, if you don't do enough good deeds, then after you're dead, we're going to have your loved ones light candles and pay money and say prayers so that you can get your soul up there somehow. And that's not a joke. That's literally taught some places. And it's all the ladder method. It's like, if you keep doing enough, then finally you might be able to make it to heaven. And the fact of the matter is today that that's not at all what John 3:16 says. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. You see, it's not about what you do or what I do. It's about what Jesus did. And the way to God is not through your ladder climbing technique. The way to God is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come by way of the cross, and you put your total faith in Christ, now you have access to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God knew that not everybody could climb a ladder, but everybody can bow. Everybody can believe in their heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. So today is not a ladder climbing contest. Today is a moment to say, what's in your heart? Do you know Christ as Savior? Have you been born again by believing completely, totally, comprehensively in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because, my friend, I don't know where you're from and I don't know what you've done. I just know that God wants to take your mess and turn it into a message. And God wants to take your trial and turn it into a testimony. And God wants to take your difficulty and make you a man of distinction. But first, you must turn to him and you must recognize what the Word of God says. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Where does that begin? With Jesus. So you got to come to the right person. You got to ask the right question. And then you've got to make the right decision. I'm so glad that on April the 5th, 1972, I was born again. Not because I deserved it, but because God loved me. And when I called out to him as just a young boy, he heard me, and he received me into his kingdom. And I haven't been perfect since then, but by his grace, I have been saved. And that's the best decision that we can ever make in this life.